Hey guys, this is update two from Monday of the Monday Morning PlayStation Podcast, number 28. On this coming up Monday, this will be the 28th official Monday Morning PlayStation Podcast. These kind of like bonus episodes because the file on Monday screwed up and I don't want to cover news that I'm covering Monday because it would not be enough to talk about for a whole hour if I just talk about everything right now. This is just another update saying, hey, what's up? This is what's happening. We're going live on Monday again. And so look forward to that around 6 a.m. And today, I'm also going to talk about the Thursday afternoon games chat. This will be halted for a little bit as the Monday Morning PlayStation podcast. I'm going to try to keep continuing and keep my foot in the door. I want to try to get these podcasts out as much as possible and keep making content and start, you know, trying to do all these different things that I do, especially if you follow DylanLepore.com and find me anywhere at Dylan's Legos on any social media app. Today I'm going to just leave you with an older Thursday afternoon games chat you guys can listen to that I recorded a while back ago with a friend, Aaron Coopersmith. And so I hope you guys enjoy it and have a good end of the week. Talk to you later.
In case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Lepore, and this is the 13th Thursday Afternoon Games Chat. Each and every week on Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, a new podcast released on Spotify, iTunes, and other podcasting services, talking about the games I play, a little history on them, maybe review, but ultimately check up on you guys. Are you well? Good. If you're not interested in the audio and want something more, a week later the podcast is uploaded to YouTube with video, of course, and the question of the day and the show's time codes in the comments below as well. You can find the MP4 on YouTube at youtube.com/DylanLepore and find the MP3 on Anchor at anchor.fm/MMPP. And as always, feel free to visit my main site, DylanLepore.com, for blog posts, updates, articles I've written, and much more. So without further ado, let's get this show started.
Lead the way. Get your rock off my map.
This is amazing!
Let's do this.
What is up, guys? Hope you guys are having a great week. It is Thursday, so we're almost done with the week. And I have a special guest here today. And so would you like to introduce yourself?
I mean... Yeah, of course. I mean, we're looking at the video right now, and I've just been here, like, sitting silently, just going... And then now I'm just some omnivescent voice in the podcast, so that's pretty cool. So, I'm Aaron, by the way.
You want to say your middle name, your last name?
I'm Aaron Coopersmith. I'm Aaron Coopersmith. I work with Dylan, and so...
What do you do?
What do I do? I write for the paper we work on, so... I work tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what do you like about video games?
What I like, I've been playing video games forever right now, except I've now just been stuck in like a strategy game kick, and so I just am addicted to strategy games.
Why?
Why? Because I like just sitting there and staring at it and going, click, click.
Well, speaking of strategy games, again, I hope you guys are having a great Thursday near the weekend. And again, speaking of strategy games, this is the unexpected strategy game we're talking to you about today. It is Bioshock 2. So we are reviewing Bioshock 2. So before we dive into the review with my overview of it, what is your... what is your initial thoughts before we dive right into it?
So I didn't play Bioshock 1. I did get started in with Bioshock 2, and right now, currently as this recording, I am playing Bioshock Infinite, which is, you know, I enjoy it. But looking back to Bioshock 2, I have to say that it is definitely a fun game. You know, we get to return back to Rapture, which was just an environment they all wanted to work on. And it's very interesting because you're like, hey, during the 50s, let's go nuts with this laissez-faire politics economy. Yeah. Let's just pretend... this city of these ideals exist, and they created this awesome world, which I just find really interesting.
1958.
1958?
New Year's.
New Year's. Oh, I thought it was 59.
It's 58.
It's 58? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's 58. I'm pretty sure it's 58.
We gotta get a Google check.
No, not now. We're already into this. Yeah. So, BioShock 2 is a first-person shooter video game developed by 2K Marine and published by 2K Games, a part of the BioShock series. It is a sequel to the 2007 video game BioShock and was released worldwide for Microsoft Windows, PlayStation 3, and the Xbox 360 on February 9th, 2010. Feral Interactive released on an OS X version of the game on March 30th, 2012, set in the fictional underwater dystopia city of Rapture. The game's story takes place 8 years after the original BioShock, assuming control of Subject Delta, a hawking big daddy. Players are tasked with fighting through splicers, the chaotic human population of the city, using weapons and an array of genetic modifications. The game also introduces a story-driven multiplayer mode called Full Fall of Rapture, which takes place during Rapture's 1959 Civil War, before the events of the first game. BioShock 2 was chiefly developed by 2K Marine with 2K Australia, Arkane Studios, makers of Dishonored, and Digital Extremes providing additional support. 2K Boston, formerly Irrational Games, because Irrational Games, after BioShock Infinite, they took part and then it just merged with 2K Boston. Yeah. However, a lot of people did lose their jobs with that.
Well, yeah, usually with a merger.
That
was a murder.
Okay. Also assisted the game's development with series creator Ken Levine providing input. The story received major changes over the course of development. Gary Shuma, the composer of the first game, returned to create the score of BioShock 2. And I actually interviewed Gary Shuma, and that was great. It was one of my very first interviews, especially with a big person in the video game, and I was just like, oh my god!
I got my journalist's first recorder.
Yeah. I mean, how would you be like if I got you?
I did an interview for our paper.
No, but I mean, like if you interviewed somebody in the gaming industry.
Yeah. Oh my god, I would be terrified.
Yeah.
Like I would lose it. I would have thrown up. Yeah. And went, I'm so sorry, but wait.
My interview was not that great with them.
Oh really?
Because it was one of my very first interviews with, but besides the point, so that's BioShock 2. That's the overview, and then so let's talk about the gameplay. And sidebar, we're not really talking about multiplayer.
Oh yeah.
In this podcast, because I played BioShock 2's multiplayer, or at least tried to, and I played BioShock on the PS3. Okay. I played the first one and the second one. This month, they're actually free. The whole trilogy is free. All the DLC, everything on PlayStation Plus.
Oh.
Yeah, completely free. And so I kind of screwed myself. I was like, what the heck? I just played all of them during winter break, and they just made the entire collection free.
I mean, yeah. You know that, once they shut down the services, because now we have the PS5 coming out.
What do you mean?
Well, the PS5, it's been announced.
What do you mean the service? What service?
The PlayStation Plus, because they did the exact same to me for
They did it for PS3. I covered this in an article. They did it for PS3 and PS Vita. Right. However, they won't be cut. They won't be shutting it down for PlayStation 4 in a long time because due to the PlayStation 5. Being backwards compatible with PS4 games.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. BioShock 2, again, is a first-person shooter. The player takes on the role of Subject Delta, a prototype for the Big Daddies 8 years after the events of the first game. As in BioShock, the player explores Rapture and fights off splicers, the remaining psychotic human population of the undersea city, using a combination of the environment, weapons, plasmids, and tonics. Plasmids and tonics are special genetic re-encoding liquids that grant the user active or passive abilities, respectively, and include many of those introduced in BioShock, as well as new ones. For example, plasmids can give the player the ability to use telekinetics or to invoke fire, while tonics can improve the player's movement speed, attack damage, or
damage resistance. Several of the weapons in Bioshock 2 were previously seen carried by Big Daddies in the first game, including a powerful drill and a rivet gun. The player can use each weapon in a close-range melee attack, unlike in the first game, and is able to equip a weapon and a plasmid at the same time, which they can use in a quick succession to destroy enemies. For example, the player might freeze a foe using a plasmid, then shatter it using a spear gun. If the player is killed, they are revived in the most recently visited Vita chamber. And so that's the gameplay.
I know. What I never got was that, you know, he has the drill in his hand. Yeah. Does he just go, takes the drill off, and then just puts something back on?
Yes, because you go down and go up. It's the same thing with any. It's the same thing
but
with video games.
But you don't see other Big Daddies doing that. So.
No, because those Big Daddies, what's different with Subject Delta is that he's a special Big Daddy.
They let him keep his left hand.
Well, yes and no. He's just a special Big Daddy because of his connection with, which we'll get into, because of his connection with that little sister of Tannenbaum.
And then it's going to have a twist.
Yeah, and the thing is that the other Big Daddies we see, those are different types of Big Daddies. Mm-hmm. Those are the specific Big Daddies they need to be in the game. Like, you know, the drill Big Daddy,
much like having a mini boss. Yeah. And this mini boss needs to be just a tiny bit different.
The drill Big Daddy is the drill Big Daddy. Right. He can't change guns. He's the drill Big Daddy. Yeah. But you, as Subject Delta, can be the drill Big Daddy, or you can be a spear Big Daddy, or you can do whatever you want. And that's what's cool about it. What's cool about it is that what also is in the first game, Bioshock, you only could have one thing on the screen at a time. You can only have a gun, or you can only have a plasmid.
Right.
Yeah. You could. It didn't allow you to have both your hands on the screen.
Okay.
And so in Bioshock 2, they now have you in one hand, your left hand, it's fire, and whatever plasmid you choose, and then your right hand has your gun in it.
And you definitely would see that later in Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, in Bioshock Infinite, they even improved it in Bioshock Infinite.
Right.
Which is I really liked about that, because I hated it in Bioshock 1.
Where we had a switch, and then you're like...
Yeah, while Bioshock 1, it was an amazing game. Amazing game. I love it. That was a little bit...
Awesome, like, opening to a game,
too.
Oh,
yeah, definitely. And what's cool about Delta, at the very beginning of the game, you're walking through the area, you're walking through Rapture before it all goes down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the very beginning of the game. Yeah, you're walking through Rapture before it all goes down. You see people.
Like, you see the New Year's party.
You see the New Year's party, mm-hmm. and then you go to the back door, and then Tannenbaum shoots you.
Right.
And then 8 years later.
You wake up.
Well, not Tannenbaum shoots you, sorry. Tannenbaum makes you shoot yourself.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you have a gun, you point the gun, you take off your mask and point the gun at your head.
Just to clarify to our listeners, Dylan's recently played this. It's been like 4 years? Yeah, 4 years.
Yeah, but so I needed to find somebody.
My memory's a little bit foggy.
But let's continue. Bioshock 2 is set in the fictional city of Rapture, underwater city,
okay.
Hidden from the rest of the world. Rapture was realized vision of Andrew Ryan. Remember that name?
I do.
Yeah, who built and Andrew Ryan is actually a nickname for they got Andrew Ryan from. You know who they got Andrew Ryan from?
I know, he looks kind of like
Ayn Rand.
Walt Disney. Oh,
that makes sense.
Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand.
The Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where they created the world Bioshock, from her book.
I actually haven't read Atlas
Shrugged, and
so that's
Ayn
quite
Rand,
interesting. Yeah.
Andrew Ryan.
See
what they did there?
And it's like, then we just need to make the author who was a woman into a man, and they'll be the main antagonist.
Yeah, yeah. And, who built the city to escape the tyranny of government? So he built the
tyranny.
Yeah, he built the government because he's like without the government is trying to take you, and
well, it was
you
like can't. The government, the communists.
Yeah.
God, there was like a third one.
Is a man not entitled to the sweat Jews. Of his vow?
It was the Jews, yeah.
The man is a man. I don't know if it was the Jews.
There's definitely there was anti-Semitism.
There's racist throughout the entire thing. Right. Racism, he was like, is a man not entitled to the sweat of his vow? But one thing he didn't realize is that if everybody's rich, who's going to pick up the trash?
Right. And then also there was this the tonics.
And, yeah, and then it became then when you get into rapture, it became the regular societal problems right. of like, all right, who's going to take care of the trash? Who's going to be cleaning
up? Who's going to be the working class?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because you can't have a working class.
Right.
If you can't only have rich people if you're not going to have a working class.
Because then it develops a class system in its own right. And we look at the vapors, the tonics, and you kind of see that as social Darwinism.
Yeah.
As like, I need to improve myself. And the only way to get these things is to buy them.
Yeah. And it's free market. They make it entirely free market in that area. And so like, I can go to your store and shoot you and then run my business or poison you or something like that.
Yeah, I think you have to be a little bit more clever than that.
Yeah, but I mean, even with we're literally about to go into this. Despite the apparent utopia, class distinctions grew, and former gangster and businessman Frank Fontaine used his influence of the lower class in a plan to take over Rapture. Fontaine created black market routes with the surface world, and together with Dr. Bridge Tannenbaum, created a cheap plasmid industry by mass-producing Adam through the implantation of slugs in the stomachs of orphaned girls, nicknamed Little Sisters. Fontaine used his plasmid-enhanced army to attack Ryan, but reportedly was killed in the battle, which we found is not, because who is Andrew Ryan?
Oh, that was Atlas.
Atlas.
And then that's another reference to Atlas Shrugged. And
Ryan took the opportunity to seize his assets, including the plasmid factory. In the months that followed, a second figure named Atlas rose to speak for the lower class, creating further strife. Atlas led attacks on the factories housing the Little Sisters, and Ryan countered by creating Big Daddies, plasmid-enhanced humans surgically grafted into giant Lombarding diving suits who were psychologically compelled to protect the Little Sisters at all costs. That is always like, I always, every time I think about that, it grosses me out because they were surgically grafted.
Yeah, because you just get the guard, the blowtorch, and then just go.
And it was connected to their body.
Yeah, yeah.
They ripped apart their body to surgically graft them to the. It's
and I remember there's like one scene where you
in get the first to see Bioshock the, yeah in the first Bioshock you become but you don't surgically graft yourself you right. just put the suit on
right yeah. But I also you get to see like how the Big Daddy's made we gotta start using up the time.
Ryan created his own army of plasmid enhanced soldiers named Splicers, which he controlled using pheromones distributed through Rapture's air system. The tension came in ahead of New Year's Eve of 1959. That is an error. When Atlas ordered an all-out attack on Ryan, the battle left many dead, and the few sane survivors barricaded themselves away. What once was a beautiful utopia has fallen into a crumbling dystopia. And so, basically, Bioshock 2's plot is Bioshock 2 opens up on New Year's Eve 1959 as Subject Delta patrols Rapture with his little sister, Eleanor. Eleanor is separated from Delta by her mother, Sophie Lamb, or Bridge Tannenbaum, who used a mind control plasmid on Delta to make him shoot himself. 10 years later, actually eight, when Delta awakens, revived by Little Sisters under the control of Eleanor. Delta is drawn towards Eleanor by their past Big Daddy, Big Little Sisters connected. Bridge Tannenbaum encounters Delta and explains that unless Delta reunites with Eleanor, he will fall into a coma. With the help of the Little Sisters, Eleanor's control under Eleanor's control and Tannenbaum's ally, former entrepreneur Augustus Sinclair, Delta makes his way towards Lamb's stronghold. Traveling through the city, Delta encounters many of Rapture's family, such as Grace Holloway, a singer who had suffered under Ryan's unjust laws against revolt, Stanley Pole, a con artist who had murdered many of the family members after foolishly trying to cover up his blunders from Lamb, and Jill Alexander, a respected scientist who worked at Fontaine Futuristics before Lamp transformed him into an encased monsterly of flesh, who you can choose to kill or spare.
Right. And that's based more on like the morale canon.
Yes. And learn Lamb's plan. She seeks to use Adam to transform Eleanor into a perfect embiote of her altruistic ideas. Lamb's ultimate goal is to have the collected minds and memories of everyone in Rapture become a part of Eleanor through the use of the genetic memory in Adam, thus making her an embodiment of the family, which Lamb believes will put an end to the self, because she wants to get rid of the self.
Right.
She wants to get rid of all the bad, all the failures, she wants to have a perfect.
Pretty much makes you a human.
Yeah, she pretty much wants to have the perfect human.
Right.
And that's what Eleanor's plan is with. That's what Lamb's plan is with Eleanor. And then, it was pretty cool going through. It was basically different boss fights. On my thing, I saved the first two and killed the second guy. So I saved the singer, and I saved the con artist who apparently did bad on, like, killed Eleanor's family or something, or killed Delta's family. I can't remember. But he was awful. He murdered a bunch of people and was trying to frame Lamb for it. And Eleanor, or something like that, vice versa. And then the last part, which I remember distinctly because it was the scientist. And they basically put this scientist under a whole bunch of infused the scientist with a whole bunch of Adam. They were trying to make the scientist the first one, the first embodiment.
However, the prototype.
Yeah, and he turned out to be this grotesque thing in a jar. You can't even tell what it is, and it's ugly. But they refer to it as like they refer to it at the end of the game like a dragon,
right.
Dragon looking. And it was just grotesque, but I killed him because, I mean, he told me to kill him.
Hey, you know, I mean, it's euthanasia.
Yeah, well, the doctor, Alexander, like, he knew he was going insane, and so he pre-recorded himself. He pre-recorded himself on audio logs. You would listen to the audio logs, and it would tell you, all right, this is how you need to get rid of me. This is how you kill me. And while – so that was talking while he was actually there trying to prevent his self from killing himself, his past self from killing himself.
You know, that's exactly like when I get drunk and drunk Aaron fights sober Aaron in the morning, and then sober Aaron's like, ha, don't worry. I destroyed that relationship so you can't go crying to them, drunk Aaron.
Yeah, and that's what – I mean, that was definitely an interesting part about that. They're especially Jill the singer, she was just like, wow, you didn't kill me. I thought you guys didn't like have a conscience. And we were like, no, we got you.
I think I killed them all.
No, I didn't kill them all.
I did.
You monster. Did you save all the little sisters though?
I did. Well.
Oh my God.
There was one time.
You murderer. Why?
Because I needed the Adam.
You don't need Adam.
I did.
When you go outside, there's slugs on the ground. You can pick them up.
Yeah, but there's just so much in that little girl.
You get the same amount pretty much at the end of the game.
One little girl who goes missing is fine.
You lose about 10. You lose about like 100 to 200 Adam at the end of the game if you save everybody. That's the difference.
That is the difference. But
is 200 or 100 Adam worth it?
A little bit.
Oh my God. Yeah, sure.
I got those upgrades faster, so.
They give you the bears, the gifts, if you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
But I had to, it's just one time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you had one cigarette, you drank one beer, you killed one little girl, you know.
Yeah.
One time.
And I actually got this. It's not Bridge Tannenbaum. Bridge Tannenbaum, I messed this up. Lamb is Eleanor's
the orphan.
Yes, right, Lamb yeah. is Eleanor's daughter. Mm-hmm. Bridge Tannenbaum was the lady supposed to help you with the little sisters.
Right.
I don't know why I messed that up. But they were working together with she was working together with Frank Fontaine. And
they set up an orphanage.
They set up the little sister program. And Bridge Tannenbaum knew what she was doing and she tried to stop it. That's mm-hmm. why she helped create the Big Daddies with the right. with the doctor in the first game.
Was it Dr. Z? It was like
Chinese. I forget the name. But he was the doctor. And basically they helped, and then Bridge Tannenbaum was a major part in the first game, mm-hmm. and then she was a lesser part in the second game because you see her for the first time at the train station, and then it closes, and you don't see her again. Right. However, she reappears in She reappears in Minerva's den, and you are not Delta, but you are what's the
First guy?
You're Alpha. And you're an actual...
You know it.
You're actual... you have... Spoiler alert. Minerva's Den. If you played Minerva's Den?
Was that the...
So basically you are a doctor, or you are something. Mm-hmm. And you force yourself to get into the suit yourself. And it's a really good story. Alpha, at the beginning of the game, you are talking. Somebody's talking to you. They wake you up. They're like, hey, wake up. Hey, this is what we need. This is the update. Here you go and everything. Yeah. And then Alpha, at the end of the game, you discover after looking, you're like, okay, what's going on? What's this? What's going on? At the end of the game, it's finally revealed that it was a voice recorder, and it was your conscious talking to you, and you
my actual
and the guy conscious. The guy that's been talking to the entire game is actually you. Yeah, it's actually you.
I just imagine the guy, he's been like working two nights and he's and then he goes and it turns out it's actually you.
Yeah, you're actually, it actually turns out to be you, and solve all the problems and figure out and
to them Night Shyamalan this game.
Yeah. And then you go to your office and everything because you were a pretty high up guy.
Then why would you do it?
Because it was the only way he survived. He was suffering. I think he had some kind of sickness or disease or something, and he was suffering, and the only way he could survive is going into the suit.
Okay.
Yeah. He got into the suit and he had a wife that died there was a bombing attack at their hotel where the wife was staying, and actually Churchill wrote him a letter. You can read it in the game. Churchill wrote him a letter, Alpha a letter, saying how he's sorry for his loss and everything.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how high up he was. And then at the end of the game, you finally meet Tannenbaum, and you both go up the surface together. And Alpha finally actually gets out of his suit because he was never grafted to the suit.
Right,
he put himself in the suit. Yeah, and he actually gets out of the suit and then goes to the grave of his wife.
Okay.
And so it's a happy ending, ish. Yeah, but
I'm free, and now I get to go visit my dead wife.
But Tannenbaum finally gets out of Rapture.
Right.
Yeah. Which
I
is
think the, that was.
Which is I always wanted to know Tannenbaum's story. Oh, and so back to BioShock.
Two. Yeah, we went on into the tangent of DLC.
Yeah. The Jordan Thomas, BioShock 2's creative director, said that first concern with the sequel to BioShock was, where do we go from this? How do you bring people back to an experience and terrify them and shock them in a way that we're not expecting, but also fulfill the many expectations they're projecting onto it? Early on, Thomas decided that it could not be a Bioshock game without the City of Rapture, and that there were many unseen locations and untold stories that could remain with the setting. The developers wanted to bring some of the mystery back to the location of Rapture and maintain a balancing of surprising old players while introducing the setting to newcomers. Thomas, an environmental artist, and Hogarth D. LaPlante agreed that the setting of Rapture was a fertile ground for new ideas that as they were both veterans of the original game, they were excited to add never before seen parts of the city and push the artistic style they have developed. Any ideas was out on the table at this point, and I think nobody has played Bioshock more than developers that made it. So I feel like it was one respect we are a pretty good test subjects for whether it's still an interesting place or not. And so that was how the second one was basically born. But after that, Ken Levine was like, okay, I've done as much as I could with Rapture, especially with Bioshock Infinite's DLC.
Yeah, no, you definitely wouldn't.
Burrow at Sea, because after Bioshock Infinite, Burrow at Sea, and especially the DLC Burrow at Sea, Burial at Sea. I don't know why I'm saying like
Bear. It's got that southern slang.
Yeah.
Burrow at
Sea. But after that game, they pretty much wrap it up.
I remember that was like the big signifying.
And they wrap it up in a bow.
And also they add in the whole thing about the parallel universe. Because I know that the first episode of Burial Sea, you're playing as like a different Booker. But this is a private investigator Booker in Rapture. And you meet Elizabeth of this different, I think, was it the same version or the different version?
It's multiple versions. However, the Elizabeth that it's in there is the last version of Elizabeth. However, we're not going to go in depth with that today.
One fact.
What?
About Bioshock Infinite. So you know at the ending where you get to see all of the like Elizabeths, the different type, and they drown you?
Yes.
So if you look at early like game reels of it and you see like the first model of Elizabeth, she looks completely different than the current one. And they actually put that model in there when you get to see the different parallels of Elizabeth, and I just love that.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of unintentional, but they're like, hell, we have the asset.
Yeah.
Why not?
And Bioshock Infinite is an insane game, especially the story. Bioshock 2 received positive reviews. Our review aggregate Metacritic on review aggregator Metacritic, it has a weighted average score of 88 out of 100 across its release platforms. And Metacritic is very similar to how Rotten Tomatoes works as well.
So terrible.
Yeah. Games Radar Charlie Barrett awarded the game with a perfect score, stating that the weapons are better, the plasmids are better, the enemies are better. At some points, even the storytelling is better. What's most amazing and surprising about Bioshock 2, however, is that by diving deeper into Rapture's tortured history and exploring more of Rapture's haunted world, it actually manages to make the original Bioshock better because it adds to the story. It adds a lot to the story. Bioshock 2 and Bioshock 1 add so much to the story.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, this is the same setting.
However, with that, with Bioshock 2, for me, could not compete. It still couldn't compete with the story, like with the story of Bioshock 1. It could not compete because Bioshock 1 was basically a two-part video game. Especially
when you finally realize
who you are and what you can't do and why you have to obey and why Andrew Ryan made you kill him. Also, if you don't remember, you are actually Andrew Ryan's son. You were stolen.
I did remember something.
You were stolen. Frank Fontaine stole you.
No, you were engineered.
Yes.
Yeah,
and Frank Fontaine stole you.
Okay.
And Andrew Ryan made you kill him because he was – Andrew Ryan made you kill him because he had nowhere else to go. And he didn't want to be – one most important thing that Andrew Ryan never wanted to be – was a slave.
I don't think anyone wants to be a slave.
But the reason why is because he always wanted to have a choice. And so he chose to die.
And I think that kind of feeds into the mechanics of, like, choice at that time, which was popular. We were talking about this earlier, where that mechanic of, like, the good, bad, the good or bad choice, you know, or which one are you?
That's why I was always like, why did he make him kill himself? He could have just told him to kill himself.
I mean, would you kindly?
Yeah, well, would you kindly? Yeah, would you kindly? Yeah, and kill me. Yeah, and then that's when the moment when you realize who Frank Fontaine is, and that's when the video games does a whole 180.
Yeah, it definitely applies to the old writer's trick of, like, sow the seed in the dialogue, make it a little bit subtle, and then boom, add more impact.
Yeah, and that's where the game did a whole 160, and it just became, for me, it just became two separate games.
Really?
Yeah. Because it felt like two separate experiences. However, the experiences together were amazing.
I mean, it sounds like that, but I think you kind of feel the development that the character would feel, which is a successful video game.
Yeah. However, with that, Bioshock 2 didn't reach that heights to
me. So you're saying it's like more of a static character?
No. Bioshock 2's story was amazing. I love Bioshock 2's story, and I love Bioshock Infinite's story. Bioshock Infinite's story is amazing. It is amazing. However, Bioshock 2 didn't reach that, like, amazing.
I mean, so as we're saying before, it fixed a lot of game mechanics, made it kind of, I guess you could say, more playable.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And they got rid of the puzzle.
The puzzle?
The puzzle when you hack machines.
Oh.
Yeah, they made the puzzle easier. However, again, with that, the story and narrative for me, it was just, like, it was amazing. However, Bioshock 2, I mean, the first Bioshock was incredible.
Like, it sounds like it, and I should really get around to, like, playing it.
Yeah, because I'm too in depth with the lore.
No, it's a very interesting lore. It does, like, it pulls the pull trigger on laissez-faire and, like, let's put this world. And then they thought, you know what? Why? Let's do something creative with this. Let's put it underwater. And then that started to create a bunch of stuff. And you see, like, this amazing world building brick by brick.
And so, therefore, with that, I give Bioshock 2 an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
That's great. It's great.
I definitely have to agree with you there about, sadly, you told me I can't do like 8.5 or 7.
Whole numbers.
God, you kill me. Even when I'm writing the paper, you're like, Aaron, only whole numbers.
Yeah, but do you understand why? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I've caught
you. And do what? Do you give it an 8 too?
I'm feeling. So looking back to it, it was a very fun game to play, you know, and I was trying to get into more survival horror. Hmm. And, you know, you see, like, this period of survival horror has a trend of trying to become more action-y. And I don't feel Bioshock has a good balance of that with the scares, the action, and also the story having a good balance. I didn't play the first one, so I don't have that whole comparison between, like, oh, there's this whole narrative change and twist.
Yeah, exactly. And you didn't play the first one?
I didn't play the first one.
The first Bioshock?
No.
Oh, man, you gotta play the first
Bioshock. I know. I think I said it earlier, too.
Oh, yeah.
I know. You're just reading off trying to get and so, looking back, and also the art, oh my god, the aesthetics on it is amazing. Yeah. You feel that time period.
And to be fair, I hate spoiling games. However, if you haven't played Bioshock or Bioshock Infinite by now, or Bioshock 2,
oh yeah, no,
this is your fault.
Yeah, no, did we this definitely game, this rip game, the Band-Aid off?
These games came out Infinite. 10 years, 10 years, more than 10 years ago.
There is a duty you must have to, like, finally get around to playing a video game.
Yeah, and especially if you're listening to this Bioshock 2 review, you should understand that we're gonna
talk about
it.
We're even late to the party with reviewing a 10-year-old game.
Yeah, and that's why I like doing these, because, I mean, I can allow myself to review what I want, because I have so many. The back catalog is so heavy, and so it's so long, and so having played a game and then having be able to talk to about it now is kind of I like that, because lots of people do like a video essay or something like that. I just want to talk about the game.
Right, because, you know, you just relax and you're like, okay.
Because not everybody's always up to date on the same games.
Right, right. And I don't... So, you know, where some people go through the time where they hear about this game and they just need something to reinvigorate interest.
Yeah, and so I hope this helps you.
But back to the original thing that I was saying. And so I got it to the part where I think it was pretty balanced and made it very interesting to play. And so I think I definitely innate.
Okay.
Definitely.
And so if you can't do math at home, that is an average score between both of us as an 8. And so going into the sales, it's its first week of release, BioShock 2 was the best-selling Xbox 360 game in the UK and North America. In the US, NPD recorded it as the top-selling game of February. Yes, February. February 2nd is when this game came out. 10 years ago. Its 10th anniversary was February 2nd.
Really?
Yeah.
That's, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Jeez, I didn't know that.
We're old now. Aren't we?
Oh, don't remind me. February with
562,900 units sold on the Xbox 360 and 190,500 on the PS3. GameStra state a possible reason for the Xbox 360's greater sales was the original BioShock's 14th-month exclusive on the platform. It also managed to hold both the first and second positions of the Steam release charts. In its first month of release, BioShock 2 was number 1 in sales for the Xbox 360 and number 12 for the PlayStation 3. By March 2010, BioShock 2 sold 3 million copies across all platforms just a month later. Sold 3 million copies. Copies across all platforms, close to the original BioShock 4.
And I mean, remember, this was before like digital copies and everything. So the people were going out buying hard copies of this game. Yeah.
So there's 3 million copies out there of this game.
It's really cheap hard copies.
The original BioShock 4's 4 million lifetime sales at the time. In an earning call, Take-Two Interactive chief financial officer noted that the game had lower than expected sales, adding sales slowed down sooner than we expected. Prior to the game's release, Take-Two chairman Stratus...
What? So wait, where?
Right there.
Strauss. Yeah, Strauss. Oh.
Zelnick. I'll have you now for reading the names. Stated that he expected the game to sell 5 million copies across all platforms. Well, you can't always get what you want. However, the game's good.
You know, and especially it's like...
Watch out, man.
Sorry about that. You'll see what I've been doing in the
video. I've already saw.
Yeah. I know, but I'm telling the viewer. It's pretty normal for something to slow, but as he's saying, it's like slowing down over a shorter period of time.
And, so 3 million games.
3 million games.
Within a month.
I'm trying to think. What
games? $60 times 3 million. Hold on, folks.
I'm not a math major. It was 3 million copies?
Yeah. 60 times 3 million.
Whew, that's, I mean, it's like $180 million.
180?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is, it's a big amount.
Yeah. That's how much Take-Two made.
How much was like the budget for making the game? How much did development cost?
I don't know, but any last minute remarks? I like this game. That's why we gave it an 8. I don't think it's as good as the original BioShock. You got to play it. So it would be for me. BioShock Infinite. It's close. It's close. This is how close it is. BioShock Infinite. This is how close it is.
As I said in the video, you'll see actually how close Dylan
but
has.
But my hands are on top of each other.
Fingers and hands.
Yeah, they're on top of each other.
It's a millisecond.
Yeah, it's they're that close. Yeah. And Bioshock 2 is just down here.
I would have to say I like Bioshock 2 a lot, and it inspired me to go play Bioshock Infinite because, you know, it had that.
And sorry about that, our audio just, like, kind of jacked up real quick.
No.
But I was talking about how Bioshock is... Can you get that? Yeah. Sorry, the door's open.
This is guerrilla style.
Yeah!
And it's a madhouse.
Yeah, but, just Bioshock is just... Bioshock and Bioshock Infinite are so close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bioshock 2 is down below.
I can somewhat see it, but I don't agree. Bioshock 2 is a milestone. It's iconic, so, you know. Because that's what
games Not as iconic are. As... Yeah.
I think it's pretty iconic.
Yeah, yeah. And and with that, let's end this. In case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Laporte, and this is the 11th Thursday Afternoon Games Chat, each and every week on Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. And this is the... Yeah, I think I messed that up. In case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Laporte.
This is the first take.
In case you didn't know, I'm Dylan Laporte. This is the 13th Thursday Afternoon Games Chat, each and every week on Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. A new podcast released on Spotify, iTunes, and other podcasting services, talking about the games I play, a little bit of history on them, maybe a review, but ultimately to check up on you guys. If you are not interested in the audio and want something more, a week later the podcast is uploaded to YouTube with video, of course. You can find the MP4 on YouTube at youtube.com/Dylan Laporte and find the MP3 on Anchor and anchor.fm/MMPP. And as always, feel free to visit my main site, DylanLaporte.com, for blog posts, updates, articles written, and much more. So, Aaron...
Yes.
Thanks for joining with us. You have any closing remarks?
This was a blast. This is really good fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And where can people find you?
I'm Aaron Cooper Smith on Instagram. I wasn't expecting this.
So check him out. And thanks for listening to my podcast. And feel free to chat with me on Twitter at dylanslegos.com. And hope you guys have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. And I'll talk to you on Monday. See you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.
Lead the way. Get your rock off my map.
This is amazing.
Let's do this.